The Edinburgh Football Podcast is brought to you in association with Nicholson Joinery Limited.
Yes, welcome to this week's Edinburgh Football Podcast. We're back after Scottish Cup weekend, lone league action as well. Busy one, so lots to talk about this evening. So it's thankful we've all three of us in company tonight. Callum, how are you?
Good, mate. Good. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, mate. And Ross, in fact, Ross, you must be absolutely delighted. I mean, I suppose you, along with the majority of Hearts fans, you know, that kind of uncertainty about John Souter, of course, you know, where will he go? Probably down south. So you must be delighted that he's decided to join your big club just along the M8.
That's plenty. Thank you very much. I'm good, though. But apart from that, awful show.
I was wondering if we're going to go with that. I was like, oh, he's dragging this out. But, no, it was worth it.
They're all cut from the same cloth, eh? Cut from the same cloth, am I right?
Baz was no. The one that got playing the sash at Tiny earlier this season. He was the one
that into the... Unconfirmed reports.
Okay then, right, the agenda tonight, of course, just touched on it there. You know, review of the Scottish Cup, three of our teams in action there. And then, of course, previewing this week's action, midweek action, and then league action at the weekend, and then on Lowland League Matters as well. Towards the end, and our predictions, of course. Right, I think, you know, the sort of review of the Scottish Cup then, that's kind of how I want to discuss it there. If we kind of speak about Hibs, I suppose, in the Scottish, before we speak about anything else, transfers, anything like that, just the Scottish Cup in general. Callum, I don't know if you, well, I think you watched it on TV. I think it was just job done, wasn't it? I think the nature of the day when I would imagine Martin Boyle had probably said his goodbyes, Callum, that day, how popular he'd been and is at Easter Road and you know, in the squad, in the training ground, around the place, so well loved. Kind of felt like the team were flat, and it kind of felt that maybe that was probably a factor. I think it would be a factor, to be quite honest. Job done, in the hat, but far from pretty, wasn't it?
Doesn't matter. All that matters at this stage of cup competitions is you get through to the next round. It doesn't have to be this fantastic spectacle. Yes, it was a tough watch, but let's be honest, sat through Premiership games that have been a tougher watch than that. But it's one of those where it's all about getting through to the next round. We've all seen our teams have shockers in cup competitions where you've been like, oh, so. Getting through, that's all it was. It was a potentially tricky tie, but come through and, you know, next round, again, another potential banana skin in Arbroath. But I think the most important thing was Hibs getting through and that was it. Job done.
Yeah. Did you watch the game, Ross? I thought Cove were good. I thought, you know, a threat on the counter-attack for a, you know, they came out a game plan and, you know, they almost probably got what they wanted with there being penalties. But in the end, a bit of striker's class, actually, from me, Kevin Nisbet, just sort of kind of hovered in the penalty spot, kind of made that run in a loads of space and a nice finish. But I think no doubt Hibs deserved to go through. But it was a decent outing for Cove as well.
I watched, I only kind of watched it from extra time, mainly due to my surprise that Hughes had held Cove for 90 minutes and were taking them to extra time. So I wanted to watch it, but yeah, I think fitness played a massive part in that extra time there. It was always expected that. I did get a good laugh, obviously, Nisbet with his celebration, Silas, and the 250 folk that bothered to turn up instead of sitting in the house watching on telly. That was pretty good of them.
It was interesting. Well, Cal, what was your take on that? That's probably another talking point that had come out from the game, Kevin Nisbet's sort of celebration. I mean, had he been getting loads of certainly I wasn't aware of that. Yeah, I don't think he's been hitting the scoring heights of last season. But I've always said, Callum, that I think Nisbet plays better up in a two, and he's been playing as a one practically most of the season because of injuries to Doidge and whatever. I still don't class maybe him and Boyle when they did play up front together against Rangers at work, but I didn't see the full criticism. I don't know if it was more the media that maybe he was coming to. I'm not sure.
I think social media, it's very easy. I mean, everyone's entitled to their opinion, of course, but I think one of the weird things that people do is they'll, like, I mean, if I wanted to call Kevin Nisbet pish, I would literally just tweet Kevin Nisbet's pish, but I wouldn't tag Kevin Nisbet on Twitter. You know, I wouldn't look to go down the route of, oh, well, you know, I want to see the make sure that they see this. And I think that, yeah, I think he's deleted his, well, deactivated his Twitter. So clearly there's been a lot that's been said to him there. And I think, you know, he's, you know, stuck his fingers in his ears. You know, I think a lot of people are saying, you know, fair play, but I mean, it's Cove, you need to be doing more. But look, I think Kevin Nisbet has had his ups and downs this year. I think you've also got to take into the fact that this is a guy who lost a parent in a very public forum. You know, I mean, personally, I've not gone through it yet, but I can imagine that I won't be over it in like a year. And I don't know if that's maybe affecting his confidence and everything, but it's one of those things where I think there is a player in there. I think he will come good, but it's just, he needs, I don't know if maybe he needs a break, but there needs to be something where Sean Maloney needs to put an arm around him, I think. I don't think the sort of tough love treatment would work with him.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. And I think actually as well, Calum, something we've mentioned throughout sort of this season has been that when players maybe haven't been on form because of, we keep going back to it, but because of a lack of recruitment that came in, we weren't able to rest players or take them out the line when they weren't performing. Kevin Nisbet, even though there has been a dip in confidence, it seems that he's not been able to kind of have a bit of time at the squad. He's just been forced to play every single game, and it's but no, delighted for him. He's on the score sheet, and hopefully now he can kick on again in the league, because he's, you know, imperative now to Hibs, given some of the outgoings that there has been. Okay, yes, job done, and it sets up a really interesting tie up at Gayfield against Arbroath. I'd imagine that'll probably be the televised one again, I would presume. I think if I was in charge of that, I'd be maybe tempting that one, but I'm not quite sure.
Nah, you'll go both old, they'll be on Premier Sports. The BBC will have two. They might look at Aberdeen, was it Motherwell, a wee Premiership tie, or they might look at Hearts at St Mirren. Is it I can't imagine Hearts Livy will be on the telly. No offence, mate.
I don't want it to be on the telly.
Well.
Fair point. Okay. And then on to Hearts, of course. And yeah, it was kind of, well, it was mentioned as a banana skin. I wasn't really convinced that would be the case. Professional performance, plenty of goals, an early-ish goal, I think, for Hearts made all the difference. 5-0. It's one of them, though, really. A Premier League side against a non-league side, 5-0, probably what you'd expect in Ross, but delighted just to be in the next round. That's all that matters, I suppose.
Aye, I think after last year with the kind of banana skin that we had and the cock up we made there, so you're kind of hoping that.
I forgot. Can you be specific?
Aye, quiet, mate. I think after that, I think we had to just get our fingers out and muscle down and get on with it. And thankfully, the players have actually done that, responded in quite a professional manner and going about their job. Should have been a lot more if officiating was a wee bit higher standard, I think. I'm still a wee bit confused as to how some of these decisions were made, but at the end of the day, we're in the next round and that's all that really mattered. And I think that's all Hearts fans could have hoped for. So they're a good side, Ocken. Like, I mean, they've knocked out, what was it, Hamilton? They knocked out the week before it, or the round before it. So they're a good side. They've always had a good following and stuff like that as well. So potential to be a honker, but came through it, done the job, done and dusted.
Yeah, there's been times that, I suppose there've been a few games at Tynecastle where Auckland like have done pretty well against Hearts in the last few years. But it was a different Hearts, isn't it? It's a different Hearts this season. A high kind of, a lot more confidence about the place. And to be honest, Callum, I was not expecting the underdog to come through in this one, and that was the case. I think the early goal, well, it wasn't very early, but it was, you know, first half, you get the goal, and the game was done as soon as the Hearts got the first goal for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think like exactly what I was saying with Hibs. Hearts went out, got the job done. They did it more emphatically, you know, with a better performance, really. But I think at the end of the day, that's exactly what you would expect. Hearts went out, got the job done. There's no doubt in my mind that Robbie Nielsen would have made sure that people were aware in the dressing room of not to make anything like last year happen again. And I think that Hearts, did everything that was asked, and they've been rewarded with, you know, another a sort of nice tie, I would say, in the next round. I think that's definitely a winnable one for Hearts. And yeah, just everything about Hearts' performance on Saturday was good. You know, there was no drawbacks really. I think what Byers is saying about the officiating, well, you saw it at Easter Road as well. Offside goal, dodges a yard onside. The Boyes one, where, you know, fair enough that the ref blows, but I mean, it's about 3 yards on at the edge of the box. But I mean, it's
the defender doing the Superman punch.
Yeah, missed the box. It's just, I mean,
that's the thing as well. They speak about it, and they speak. I listened to Sports Sound on Sunday, and you know, and Craig Levein is saying how he thinks the referees should be full time, and should be kind of made a career, and this and other thing. And I absolutely 100% agree with him, because and then I had other people. I can't remember, they had the guests on. I think it was maybe Daryl Broadfoot and also another journalist, I can't remember. And they were saying, I don't know what difference that would make. But for me, how many times on this podcast, because we follow part-time clubs, and I've heard actually Bobby Madden speak about it, I think, on Open Goal, that he said the best, or maybe it was Willie Colman and something else, the best season he had was in his full-time, because, you know, midweek games, for example, how many times have we said, Callum, how difficult it is for part-time teams to work all day, and I've done it myself, see midweek games are tough mentally, all day at work. You know, you're up at crack of dawn, you've got all the day working, then you're rushing in traffic, you're eating your pre-match in the car, you get to the game and you're like, can you almost knacker before the game even starts? So for people that have never really played the game don't understand actually how much that can actually take out your brain. There's no doubt for me when ref, the journalists were saying, but it doesn't matter, it's still split decisions and split-second decisions you've got to make. But for exactly, you've got to make split-second decisions, and if your brain isn't quite absolutely at it because you've been spending all day at work, then, you know, so for me, big fan, I think all our top referees, not seen right across the board, but if you're refereeing at the top level in terms of the Premier League, the Premiership, sorry, and linesmen, we've got to get them full time. I think it would be a good start anyway, at least be a start to try and get this, because you're right, some of the decisions that we see weekly, you know, shambles. I mean, just a shambles.
Without wanting to veer off course too much and go off on tangents, I think that, you know, they're wanting VAR introduced at the start of next season. I think couple that with referees going full time, and you will see a marked improvement, in their abilities. But at this moment in time, I don't think that referees are biased overall. I think some of them probably are, but I mean, the problem is that the majority of the referees up here are absolutely brutal. You know, and it's nothing
just
to do
incompetent. With... Too many of them. They're too stupid and too crap to be to show any kind of biasness as well.
Yeah, I mean, just for me, get rid of the time. I think you see a big difference. Okay, and job done. Sets up Livingston. You said there, Callum. That was a range of a tie from a couple of years ago when the star striker Vanacek got, I think, his only goal for Livingston that day. Sorry, for Hearts against Livy. A couple of years ago.
Mind there was a guy like tracking his plane and all that. Like, oh, what a player we've got.
Listen, Stoby, that was me.
What are you saying? You can't look at me. What are you talking about? right, okay. Nice tie though, home tie. That's all you can ask for.
Aye, I'm delighted with that draw.
And our last side that we're in Scottish Cup action Saturday afternoon. Edinburgh City, of course, up against Aberdeen. I mean, it was always going to be tough for me. I kind of don't want to say, be one of those guys that are great, you know, well done, you kept the score down, but they weren't disgraced going up against, you know, Aberdeen 3-0. Probably, let's be honest, if anyone said, if we'd done predictions, I think that would have probably been a favourable, probably scoreline, a sort of 3-0 defeat. So, yeah. They got a run. They got a Premier League side. Good day out for the fans who went up there. But all accounts looking on social media, they had a good day out. Good day, good session. So, what more can you say, really, Callum? It's just focus on league now, isn't it?
I think realistically, what this tie was all about was just getting City a wee sort of money spinner, decent day out for the fans. I think you look at it, it's, you know, it's the difference between a full time team, part time team, and I think Aberdeen were at it. They weren't, you know, so they didn't show City a lack of respect or anything like that. They approached the game professionally, and I think they got the goals at good times, which really sort of hurt City. And I think overall, City will have no complaints about that. And you know, they've had a good cup run. They had a decent draw this time, so I think it's all about focusing on the playoffs now.
Yeah, I don't know. Any catch the attendance? The kind of roughly. Well, I'm trying to look. I'm on the Aberdeen website just now, and it's attendance blank. So that's always good.
That's handy. No, I didn't see anything.
I don't know, but to be fair, it did look sort of standard Aberdeen.
There was a very small amount of Edinburgh City fans there. I saw one picture from the other side. But yeah, so when you've got Hearts playing the same day and stuff like that, and another team playing.
Slight difference between the supports that these teams have.
Yes, I know, but still, you're hoping it would be a lot more, but not to be. But it doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah, I think, you know, like I say, Edinburgh City, they've got a decent bit of cash through the door. Important, can hopefully put that towards personnel coming through the door, which we'll go on to mention. A couple of outgoings again from Edinburgh City in the last sort of few days. Kind of a bit of a clear out there, yeah. So we'll come to that when they get to the Edinburgh City section again as we look ahead to them. But let's go back to sort of Hibs and Hearts. We started with Hibs because it with the way the Scottish Cup games fell. So where are we now with transfers? Let's go back to an outgoing. Callum, Martin Boyle, Willie Wonte was the kind of last discussions we had. Being confirmed that kind of, well, if you're optimistic, it looks like a 2-year loan, but I'm not quite sure it'll turn out that way. I mean, at the end of the day, if you were to say to anyone, listen, you're 29, you've probably been on decent money at Hibs, but it's not exactly going to set you up for the rest of your life. Here's 20-odd grand a week to go and set you and your family up for pretty much the rest of their lives. I mean, he goes, as all Hibs fans, on a kind of a good sort of farewell, if that makes sense, Cal.
Yeah, I think everyone... every Hibs fan I've seen has, you know, wished him well. I think it's one of those, he signed, it was massive from him to sign the deal in the summer to remove the 500k release clause from his contract. That was honestly massive because there was clubs circling that, you know, remember Aberdeen thought that they could get him for 500k back then. So it was, yeah, I think we would have lost him for, peanuts. But he's gone for what Hibs have valued him at. There's been no sort of ill feeling between him and the fans or the club. And I think, yeah, it's some of his comments where he's saying, you know, it's not goodbye, it's see you later. And, you know, I'd like to think I'd be welcomed back Easter Road if I did come back. And you're like, and the fact that Hibs have a clause that if someone else comes in for him, Hibs have first refusal. Yeah, everything points to the fact that Martin Boyle will be a Hibs player again. But look, he's done very well considering when he came in at Easter Road, he was, you know, I think a strong gust of wind would have knocked him over. You know, a wet paper bag weighed more than he did. And I just think that he grew as a player year on year, constantly getting better and deserves his move. And, you know, good luck to him.
Yeah, I think... probably one of the most unbelievable bit of business there's been, you know, in terms of that deal. You know, I think Alex Harris goes to Dundee, we get Martin Boyle, and there was actually Dundee fans almost celebrating and laughing at Hibs for that deal at the time. And the transformation, not just in his hair, but the transformation in his ability, incredible. I think it was probably Neil Lennon, I think, the sort of really sort of transformed Martin Boyle at the time, Cal, around that time, because under Stubbs, very bit part player. Let's be honest. Only kind of highlight I can really remember, Callum, was that goal, Livingston, in the league against the kind of long range one from the edge of the box. It was kind of Neil Lennon that started to see it, and then from every manager there on, he's just improved season on season. I mean, I listened to Open Goal today, Ross, and there, probably more tongue in cheek from Paul Slane, but he was saying, has there been a better player out with the Old Firm in the last 5 years?
Yeah, I know. I heard that today, actually, and it kind of got me thinking. I couldn't think of many others that have been that consistent, to be honest.
There's a Hearts fan. I mean, what do you mean, Callum, you probably know more than me, but I can only think of maybe 2 goals he scored against Hearts, that derby from a couple of years ago, the brace that he scored in a 2-0 win. 2-0? 2-1? I can't quite remember.
2-0,
yeah. So how do you feel from a Hearts perspective on that transfer? I suppose on one hand you're delighted that he's away, but on the other hand Hibs have potentially got a good couple of million to bring in some others.
Yeah, I'm obviously personally delighted that you've got rid of kind of your main goal for it. It'll be interesting to see where that money goes with all the kind of stuff that rumours when Gordon started remortgaging everything and stuff like that as well. So he might just take it back in his pocket and piss off. Who knows? I hope so. But no, I think he's a look at, he's brought more players in. That Demetri Mitchell's been brought in. Don't expect too much, I would say. But I think Hibs will obviously make moves on it. From what I've heard from about Mueller, he seems, I don't know, I never saw him against Cove, so I couldn't really comment. But from what I've heard, he seems to be a similar kind of player. So Gary Mackay, Stephen was saying stuff like that. Stuart Finlay said on Open Goal the other week, actually. He's a similar kind of player. So yeah. Interesting to see what happens. But yeah, it's a big miss for Hibs. And just got to hope they'll be sensible with it.
Yeah. I think Sean Maloney came out in the paper reading earlier that Hibs will use the transfer fee brought in from Martin Boyle sensibly. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. I think, like you say, I think, thinking back to that Cove game, it was just so evident that we missed Boyle. Of course, we did, but it was somebody with pace to go in behind that was just crying out for it. And a lot of Hibs' play was sort of in front of Cove, so quite easy to defend. So hopefully, we're able to work on that and use the likes of Mueller and Ewan Henderson to start getting in behind. Quite predictable at times against Cove. But yes, as Ross mentioned there, Callum Mitchell brought in. First of all, thoughts on the announcement in terms of the Hibs that Hibs' social media tweet type thing, rated it or not?
No, I mean, I think they had to do something like that, let's be honest. I think when it first came out, I remember being like, who's this wee? But I mean, let's be honest, he's saying that, and it's like when the boy Rocky Bouchery signed for Hibs and he's going, you know, I've joined the biggest club in Edinburgh. It's just, I'll say this and I'll get the fans on side straight away. And everything. Obviously, for Demetri Mitchell, I think in his first loan spell with Hearts, he was impressive for certain, well, maybe not large parts of the sort of half season that he was there, but there was definite signs, I think. Then, when he was his second season, when he came back on loan, there was large gaps. I think he got injured a few times, but even without the injuries, his performances, weren't excellent, shall we say. So I think it's an interesting one. I think that he's probably not going to be playing left back. I think he's going to be played further forwards, which is what he's been played at Blackpool. I think there was something in his clause when he was at Hearts. I think this might be gospel of Paul, this might be absolute nonsense, but I think in his second loan spell, he had to play further back. He wasn't allowed to get forward, but I mean that could just, I mean that's Ross Proudfoot's source, so I mean that could be absolute nonsense, who knows. But I think it's an interesting one. What he needs to do though is his first couple of performances need to be very, very impressive, because he'll be scrutinised more than a normal new signing. He won't get up, all right, it's okay, or you know, right, he's just fitting in, because of what happened in the past, because he was at Hearts and everything, because he had to dig at Hibs, there's going to be, well, come on, son, you need to hit the ground running, really. And hopefully he does. But let's be honest, there's a long list of players that have gone between Hibs and Hearts that, yeah, he's not breaking the ground or anything, you know? Groundbreaking.
Yeah.
I think he'll be another Reyes. personally. Reras. I can't see him. Whatever his awful name is.
Reras had more minutes on social media than he did on the park. The road.
I don't know why. He just started slating hearts every couple of minutes. I can't even remember you, mate.
I remember, like, I would just see tweet and I'd be like, class, because you're just like, he's playing to the gallery. Of course he is. He's
trying to
get, like, his new fans on saying wind up the old one. So he's absolutely, you know, it's like what was it Tony Watt said in the when he moved to Dundee United there? He's like, I don't care what Motherwell fans say. You're like, wow, that's a but he's just like bothered anymore. So I think Mitchell has to come in with that attitude. Don't care what they say. We'll only hear the best one side now. So
I watched that video that Ibs put on their social media, though. That was cringy as anything.
They had
to put him under a spotlight. I was like, it sounded like Begbie was interviewing him as well.
They had Bob Carlyle in there. He'd asked them if he brought cards, and he hadn't. That's why the light was shit.
Oh, that's cringy. I think you're bang on. I think Mitchell probably needs to get a goal or an assist in the first game or two just to kind of silence the critics, because you're right, the spotlight is going to be on him from the absolute get-go. So, I mean, Mitchell, when he was at Hearts, I mean, the first season, was that when Hearts had that unbelievable start to the season? Was that that season? And did he come back in the relegation season? I'm just trying to think, you know, Hearts wasn't exactly the best sort of club to be at around that time. He had his loan spells, so you just...
Yeah. No, his first, because his first season was just a 6-month loan.
Aye.
And
he done all right then, actually. He scored one goal for us, I think. Against St Johnstone, it was a good goal, but I can't really remember him the second.
17, yeah. And then his full season was 18-19.
Mm. Maybe we got to the cup final.
Yeah. Was it?
We got beat of Celtic in the cup final that year, yeah.
Good like, reset. Doesn't matter now.
Eventually, he lost his place to Hickey.
Yeah. Okay, right. So, that's all looking at. I mean, suppose Melkerson now gets the green light, so that'll be good. Hopefully, he can get action in the next, well, soon. Get up and running and get good competition up there in the sort of forward areas. I think that's what's needed. Obviously, now Doig, Nisbet, Melkerson, there's options now again for Hibs, so that's looking... much better.
I was seeing seeing the rumours page on BBC. They were saying that Maloney is going to allow Scott Allen to leave this transfer window. What's happened then, Andy?
I don't know. I think that the problem that Scott Allen's got, and to be fair, he doesn't have many problems, but I think the problem is that Sean Maloney is looking to play a certain style of football, a certain formation. And I think that the formation he's looking to play and Scott Allen's strengths do not match at this moment in time. So, yeah, that's why I can see a sort of breakup, shall we say.
Yeah. I'm a huge, huge fan of Scott Allen. Probably one of my favourite Hibs players has been in the last however many years. Gets bums off seats, can see passes that nobody else can, scored some fantastic goals, but it's getting a key point for him. Is he guaranteed at the moment to play 90 minutes every week for Hibs? At the moment, it just doesn't seem like... I mean, I think he's a great player, but it doesn't look... That's now sort of... Jack Ross wasn't able to give him 90 minutes every week. This is now Maloney that he doesn't seem to be getting 90 minutes every week. And if I'm Scott Allen, everything that I've been through, I just want to be playing football. And I think it kind of... it probably makes sense. I'd be gutted because I genuinely have a lot of time for Scott Allen, but it's just looking kind of every passing week that you don't see him starting and things, he gets closer to the exit door, unfortunately for me. Also, it's like Halbert might move on as well. Callum, another player that looks fantastic on YouTube, has been proven, but hasn't quite done enough. Would you be gutted either, you know, both of them moving on or...
Well, yeah, I think obviously Scott Allen has a lot to offer, but I think you're spot on. He's wanting to play football, and I don't think that he's being given that opportunity right now. First, I just want to come back. You've mentioned Jack Ross's name, and I think for a guy that just was mediocre at Hibs, any feelings of goodwill or anything that I felt maybe he was harshly treated by being sacked disappeared when he went to the Sun and did a, oh my God, I can't believe they sacked me, please feel sorry for me, exclusive. First of all, he went to talk to the Sun, so he's a scumbag. And second of all, saying that he was in contact with David Gray and Martin Boyle before the cup final, talking to Martin Boyle about how Hibs should be letting him go with a big move and everything. I'm just like, shut up. You couldn't beat a St Johnstone side in two cup competitions last year that are floundering right now. Fair enough, you lose them once, but you had nothing in your tactical background to try and find a way to beat them. I absolutely despise the man. You can take your stupid trainers and your stupid fashion sense and fuck off, because I'm sick of it. And I'm like, you made me watch 2 years of boring, dull football that, Kim, what, I'm sick of it. And you, the fact that you want sympathy from everyone, get out. Just scumbag. Hate him. So,
the next manager never made you watch Dross football.
Sorry?
He says, not every Hibs manager has made you watch Dross football.
No. Been some good ones. But no, I think if Scott Allen goes, then yeah, it's a shame. Milka Hallberg, injuries affected him earlier in the season, unfortunately, because he came into the team at the tail end of the last season, did really well. I think that there's a player in there, but it's not worked out for him, unfortunately. So I think Milka will go, much like Vykantas Slivka. He'll be remember what could have been with him, and then he'll depart into obscurity.
Yeah. Okay. Right, big games this week for Hibs, of course. Four league games. I can look at the four games coming up, and it's just a kind of real opportunity to get points on the board, I think, although an Edinburgh derby in there, of course, but the games around that, big opportunity. So it's Motherwell tomorrow night away, and then it's got Livingston at the weekend, Callum. So big week actually for Sean Mooney, because in the last couple of years, these kind of fixtures have been the ones that have struggled at times, isn't it?
6 points.
Needs to be six. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Well,
Ross?
I think the form that he's have kind of went on, albeit kind of scrapped that Cove Rangers game, because anything could happen, a cup game, but yeah, I'm expecting he's to go and get the 6 points in these games.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Right, and then Hearts, of course. I mean, obviously we spoke about John Souter there. I think for all parties, I think it probably needs to get sorted out, although I'm not sure if it will, you know.
Well, Hearts are apparently wanting $600,000. From what last time I heard, they'd offered $300,000 and it got rejected. So similar to what Hibs were doing with Boyle, Hearts are standing firm and saying, this is what our valuation is of him now. But I've seen the arguments. Like, Hearts we've got a big push there. He's a great player. He is a great player, but fans are never going to be on his side till the end of the season. So I think it's in his best interest just to kind of cut cords.
Very quickly, Stoby. Byers. So I saw something online. Obviously, if he doesn't go before the end of the transfer window, Derby's a week today. Hearts fans booing him at every occasion. Do you think that he will get booed at Easter Roads? Or do you think there will be a sort of, you know, Hearts fans will abstain from booing unless, you know, Hibs maybe go 1-0 up, and then it's, you know, it's all John Souter's fault, even though it was nothing to do with him, perhaps. But what do you think? Booing.
I think he's a new fucking villain in town. So I think he will get booed. I'm hoping he wouldn't. A derby. It'd be very unusual for a derby to go ahead. Your fans are booing your own player, which is. He's been solid for us in derbies in the past. He's the only one that's kind of put a challenge into certain Hibs players and stuff like that as well. But yeah,
let's calm down here.
I don't think there'll be boost tomorrow night if he plays against Celtic. I don't think it'll be boost tomorrow night. There's my prediction.
Well, we'll find out tomorrow night, of course.
I suppose I've got to see what happens. Forgot about him after he was playing against Auckland.
I'm sure. I think everyone said, injury. I think everyone thought the same thing. Oh, I Just trying to not get a cut tied that way. Okay, so for them, it's Celtic tomorrow night. Big game, actually. It's a huge game. I think, you know, if Hearts were to win that, they actually go within sort of two results of Celtic. I'm not sure if Celtic have
got any... Six points we were behind them, I think.
I don't think Celtic got any games at hand or anything, but that's a, you know, you just never know. And then for them at the weekend, it is, I'll put it down...
Motherwell.
Yes, Motherwell at home. So, you know, two home games in a row for Hearts, Tynecastle, the fortress that is. Big week, what do you think, Ross?
Four points
would be a nice return.
Six, I'm going for. Beat them before it, Celtic. I think the Celtic games that we've had, they've been tight. Remember the first game of the season, we obviously beat them, we played well against them. The game against Celtic Park, we were kind of cheated out of that game, I think. And I know what your feelings are still be about that hamstring, but I'm still pissed off with that. So we'll see what happens tomorrow night. But yeah, I think it'll be close regardless. I think Hearts can definitely take points at that game. Motherwell, we should be taking points off them. They've lost a big player in Tony Watt. So yeah,
and again, Celtic have got a few injuries as well. I think
McGregor, they've got quite a few.
McGregor, a bad injury for him, which I'm actually a bit concerned about for Scotland as well. If it's what they're reporting as a kind of broken cheekbone, so
broken cheekbone, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Barry, Arnia. Arnia, rough team.
Who's that? Sorry,
Barry Ferguson came out today and says we're not a rough team. But no. Funny how there's an old fan coming around the corner.
Celtic are missing the boy. Kyogo's still missing. I think one of the new Japanese signings in the middle of part? Is it Hatate or was it Gucci that went
was
off?
Ediguchi got injured on Saturday.
So I think there's a right good chance for Hearts tomorrow night. I think that it's there for them, much like the first game of the season when Celtic were not at full strength and Hearts caught them at a great time to play them. So I think that, look, Celtic have got better, definitely, but I think under the lights of Tynecastle tomorrow, there's not going to be the full stand, which, just to touch on, I've seen a lot of people like, need to sell out. No, Hearts don't. I tell you right now, what I would love to see at Easter Road and at Tynecastle every time the old fan visited is they get the half stand, and even if both Edinburgh clubs do not sell out, they still just get the half stand, because I'm absolutely sick of the fact that you go through there and you get 800-900 tickets, and even remember the Championship when Rangers had like 15,000, they still denied Hibs a request to get more tickets, etc., mainly because I think they knew they were going to get pumped. But still, it was that sort of, if they want to lower themselves to that level, then Hibs and Hearts have tickets for Hibs and Hearts fans.
I'm delighted with the way Hearts are doing it. They're dealing with how the other clubs should have. So,
yeah.
I think it's even better. I saw someone on Twitter saying that they hope that Budge stands in one of the empty rows, Rosebun, just ripping up the extra tickets in front of the Celtic fans.
Incredible. Actually, no, make it something like Celtic fans hate. Like, see what Kyle Lafferty is doing tomorrow night, and just do it. You know, just get like a proper.
Here's one for you though. Unless I'm absolutely seeing things here, Hibs and Hearts both at home on Saturday at 3:00.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's incredibly rare.
It happened already this season. I'm sure it's this season that we've both been at home. But yes, it is. It's an incredible, especially, you know, with Civil at home to Rangers, which is, you know.
And am I also, but Scotland, England?
No, you're ahead of yourself.
Is that not this weekend, though?
No, week ahead. You're the week ahead.
That's why I said you're ahead of yourself. Hearts don't they get home games the same day. So it's normally moved.
Because it's all again cut from the same cloth, they all just go on the rugby, that's why they didn't get an attendance. Yeah,
fuck. Certain ones do, no me though.
Okay then, right, Edinburgh City then, and as we discussed our Scottish Cup game. Transfers for them, again, it's kind of more outgoing, isn't it? Really, it's kind of dominated Alan Smith moving to Spartans. I think we'll kind of speak about him more when we go on to Spartans. But I think, you know, Spartans have certainly got a player there for me. Always liked Alan Smith for for Edinburgh City. Hilson as well, moving on. I think he was at was signed from Stranraer in the summer, so that's been a fairly quick turnaround for him. So Gary Naismith really kind of cleaning out, isn't he? He's really sort of trying to get his favourite squad, not favourite squad, but trying to get his best squad together. He's not been hesitant in letting players go. I think Chris Kane, I think, as well, maybe in the last week or two. So constantly big changes, Callum. Kind of what we've seen, it's just every week, there's just no consistency of squad. It's just changes all the time.
No disrespect to the players that have left, but I think that it shows, because I think Stephen Bronski is gone as well.
Mm.
But I think what it shows is Gary Naismith holding his hands up and admitting that he got it very wrong in the summer with some of his arrivals, because it's the majority of them that are leaving. He went about his business very early on in this transfer window. I think City had signed, what, 4-5 players in the first few days. So you look at that, you look at where they are now. Obviously, I think that Gary Naismith, he gave some of these players a few months. It's not working out. But it's changing it up again and hoping that with these changes they can push on for playoffs.
Mm. Yeah, I think, interestingly, you know, having spoke to a few people, having probably our own opinions, to be honest, we kind of all feel that we sort of think that Naismith had a kind of number of players that he maybe, kind of, is it the word, is it earmarked? Is that the kind of right word to use? Earmarked to sort of bring into the club. And we just wonder, has he kind of missed in the boat on a couple of them? Have a few of them decided to go elsewhere? And maybe deals falling through, you just don't know. And it's almost like he kind of went, I need to sign players. So he's kind of gone to maybe the next set of list, or maybe even further down, you know, kind of, these are my first choice, second choice, third choice. And yeah, but just big changes. It's just an ever changing squad, Ross.
It's very unusual. I think you don't kind of see that kind of roundabout about so often with players, but he's got an idea of what he needs to do, and I think he's in that position for a reason. So he'll look at it, as Callum said, he's probably looked at it and went, I put my hands up, I've cocked up on that signing or that one there. So it'll be interesting to see what he's done with it. I'm hoping he brings in, but if he has to bring, well, I imagine he probably will bring others in or coming in, so we'll see what kind of quality he brings in from it. So we'll see.
Key part of the season this for Edinburgh City, Cam, because in the, you know, last couple of seasons, certainly when Edinburgh City were up the top end of the table, this kind of spell, sort of January sort of run, has often been the one, I think back to the one when they were cruising the top of the league for so long. It was just kind of late December into January sort of run where they couldn't buy a win for a little spell, Cam, a few years ago. It's always been a real key part to the season. What we said, you know, after Christmas, where are you? After New Year, the Scottish Cup's done now. It's just all concentration on the league in a decent position. And you know what? I know we missed a podcast last week, but I think it's only fair to talk about that result up against Kelty. That's good character, isn't it? You know, 2-0 down against Kelty. I know it kind of feels so long ago now, but fantastic character, you know, to go 2-0 down to the runaway leaders who will go on and be champions of League 2. No doubt about that. And we spoke about him in that midweek, Callum, Jack Bryden, wishing him all the best. Can he follow another player's footsteps? All those type of thing, and he just goes in and scores the equaliser in the last minute. So that's the character they're going to need if Edinburgh City are going to get themselves into the playoffs come April.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at the league table and what is there, 5 clubs looking at the last playoff spot. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think we all agreed when the signings were announced in early January that Jack Bryden was a standout. And he's definitely going to go there and improve what City had. And yeah, it took him 2 days to two games to show that. And I think yeah, he'll go from strength to strength. And it's just yeah, you're right. That game at Kelty, we were all sitting here before going, well, that's a bit, you know, Kelty have been doing this, doing that. They'll be, and you know, 2-0 down, you're thinking, well, we were right. But then they come back, keep fighting, and sort of City spirit of old, they grind out a chance to get the level and they get their just desserts at the end. And I think going into this game, because we said, oh, it's a really tough January, 3 away games, and they're looking at, you know, the point against Kelty, a decent enough performance up at Aberdeen, and now you're looking at, well, can we do something against Forfar?
It's essentially a it's a league of six within 10 here, isn't it? For this, I mean, I'd probably even count, I mean, Albion Rovers are only 5 points behind Edinburgh City. You know what I mean? So you could almost argue that there's maybe even six teams there that are all, I think Cowdenbeath are, you know, they're just thinking about survival. They're not thinking about playoffs. I think the only playoff they're probably considered is avoiding playoffs in terms of the relegation one. So you've almost got six teams. So it's just going to be an incredible run now for the playoffs. Because like you say, that the you know, Edinburgh City on 27 and then eighth Elgin on 25, 2 points, you know, between almost, you know, four positions. They're incredible. So it's just about getting over the line, Ross, isn't it? I mean, it's just going to be I mean, everyone speaks about the championship, how fascinating that is. And I know League One's quite tight at the top there, but League Two, that sort of hunt for the last playoff space is as good as any.
Yeah, I think we've kind of, my worry is though, obviously City have been pretty inconsistent at times with a lot of the results coming into it. I'm just hoping that on the back of that Kelty result, which was absolutely huge, I'm delighted obviously for Jack getting his first senior goal for the club as well, but I'm just hoping they can follow up with league performances. You're kind of hoping that they will, and they've got that kind of wee bit between the teeth now, I think, as well, saying that we can push on and do this. So you just got to hope on push it. And you say it's a massive few months for Gary Naismith in the club, and I think he'll be, well, potentially, I don't know, it's that rumour, he's going to have to be looking at kind of thinking, if I don't deliver it this year, man, the shiggly peg and stuff like that, with the kind of the team that he's got, he should be pushing up towards that. So you're kind of, you don't know what their kind of objectives are for him. So I'm just hoping they can push on and kind of get a bit of consistency towards the end of the season and kind of kick on now.
Yeah, I think that word you used there, Byers, consistency, that's the important thing, because I don't think the games fall far away are going to be the ones that decide this season. It's the ones that are in and around. So, you know, City have got to be looking at Stirling, they've got to be looking at Stranraer, they've got to be looking at these teams to see if they can push on. And I think if any one of those, you know, sort of five, six teams, as Stoley was alluding to, can put a wee run together, then that's it, you know, because the top three are away and Cowdenbeath are pretty much down the bottom. So, yeah, that's your sort of goal with at the end of the season, just get a run together as easy as it sounds and hopefully take that final playoff spot.
Well, absolutely. And like we said, you know, you mentioned Forfar there, Callum, 4-0 the 17th of December for Forfar down at Tainsley Park. It was, you know, as comfortable an afternoon probably as they've had all season, to be honest, with Forfar. Not a good day off for City. But as we spoke about a few weeks ago in the podcast, we were looking ahead to the fixtures and it was Kelty, Aberdeen, Forfar. And then we said from that moment on, there's a nice run, you know, you're looking at all the teams around them, Stranraer, Stirling Albion, Albion Rovers. You're not really looking at that top two. So it's an opportunity now. What a chance City have got to show that consistency. Can they get that consistency? Because they've got a nice run of fixtures coming up. So big game. Yeah, I think, you know, Forfar will be tough. Second in the league. They're still hoping that Kelty kind of chuck in a few more Annan performances in there and they could somehow hunt down Kelty. So tough afternoon this up at Forfar, but historically, you know, back when Forfar were previously in League Two, some big results City picked up there. You know, I think maybe lost one game up there. I think we beat them in the Scottish Cup up there, picked up a good win in the league up there. So hopefully they can find some sort of, maybe just be a nice ground for, you know, one of those grounds that City like going to, but there's no doubt it's going to be tough. But hopefully now that the Scottish Cup's done, show that consistency as they hunt on for the playoffs. Okay, right, on to Lowland League matters then. Let's go Spartan Civil, and quite an incredible game. You know, Spartans go 2-0 up fairly early on, and then you're just thinking, well, that's that done. But Spartans just thought, nah, we'll make this an event. And they kind of let Civil back into it, and then in the second half, they managed to overturn it. But yes, thrilling, Ross, 4-2 in the end. I mean, Spartans will look at that, and that's a double they've done over Civil this season. So they'll be more than happy at that. And for me, I think that kind of confirms them now, in my opinion. I'll put my neck on the line. That puts Spartans now as Edinburgh's top Lone League side this season.
Yeah, I think so now. I think the team they've got, you can expect them to kind of push on. Good, saw the goals, a couple of decent goals coming in there. Concerned regarding defending for a few of the goals. Pretty unforced errors, middle of the park, just losing possession there that kind of killed teams off from, I would say, from probably both sides as well. But yeah, from what I've seen on Twitter, because I had a quick look on, I was obviously out on Saturday, but I had a look on Twitter just to kind of see results and stuff like that. And a few of the folk had tweeted saying it was a really enjoyable game, sitting watching the kind of North Edinburgh derby. So you're hoping for a good game for these ones anyway. But yeah, from an Edinburgh perspective, I think we are looking at Spartans topping that up. Civil have went on a wee bit of a poor run recently. You're kind of hoping they can pick that back up, but we'll see. It's always doable.
Yeah, Spartans on
and
a
Gary would trust.
Yeah, Spartans on a decent run, Callum. You know, I'm seeing that now. It's kind of got to kind of scroll quite far back to their last defeat, to be honest, all the way back to that, to be honest. And it's incredible, because we said at the time that kind of horror result against Rangers. You know, we kind of said this had to be the moment that Spartans, this does not happen ever again, ever. That 7-1 defeat on the 4th of December, that had to be the changing point, the turning point. And since then, you know, wins against Albite, Cumbernauld, Edinburgh Uni, the draw with Bonnyrigg, beating Vale, and then beating Civil. So it's kind of 6 wins in the last 7 games. So they've done what we said they had to do. And it's kind of cementing their place now, because to be honest, it's a top 5 battle now. I think Bonnyrigg have done enough to win the league. I know, I still don't know what the politics are around in terms of Rangers and Celtic and things like that, if they were to finish top, but I think it looks like it'll be Bonnyrigg's. But there's a real hunt now for top 5. So wins like that over Civil at the weekend will go a long way to kind of securing maybe a top 4 finish for Spartans here.
Yeah, I think you're spot on, mate. I think now it's probably just, it's too much for Civil to do. Spartans would have to have a very poor run. You're looking at them right now, you know, I didn't realise that it was 6 out of the last 7, but I knew that it had been, you know, a couple of good results recently, which, you know, just goes to show it's been a very good, you know, almost 2 months for Spartans after what was a horror show, rightly condemned. But, you know, they're absolutely doing everything right now. I think that Dougie's always wheeling and dealing. I think Alan Smith reuniting with Blair Henderson, that's going to be an interesting one. They were always very dangerous together in the city. So I think that that's a shrewd move there. Don't know too much about, what was it, the boy White, who came, I think he scored. But I think, yeah, Spartans done really well. It's a massive result on Saturday to get one over on Civil. I think they're looking at it, and it's been, you know, a season where Bonnyrigg's consistency has won them the league. That's it. They've not really dropped many clangers or anything like that. It's just, there's been the odd defeat, but nowhere near enough to derail them. I think, obviously, you look at top 4, gets you in, is it the Iron Brew or whatever it's called now, the Tunnock's Caramel, that's it. So I think Spartans, a few years out of it, they'll be delighted to be back in there, because I think, obviously, Celtic and Rangers, their league positions just get sort of wiped out the table, as it were. And Spartans are on course to try and finish second, which, for the first time in a few years, would be a right good league position for them. So I think that, yeah, even though the title is gone, it's very important for Spartans to push on and sort of put a marker down for, you know, next season, as what your Edinburgh City team did in the, what was it, 13-14 season. Went on a ridiculous run towards the end of that season and then just carried it straight on in the next season and went, you know, 18-19 games undefeated and won the league, well, and then obviously won it again. But I think that if Dougie can keep the sort of core of the squad together and get that sort of belief in them, then, you know, who knows, because next year, yeah, it's always going to get harder, the league.
I think that's a great point, actually, just maybe using from this point now, from that Rangers moment on, can we build incredible momentum to get a really good sort of atmosphere around the dressing room, adding the likes of Alan Smith in, League 2 experience or league football experience for practically his whole career. I think, I mean, I can't remember where he was sort of prior to Peterhead, because I think it was Peterhead to City, and then obviously City now to Spartans. White, by all accounts, very well rated at Musselburgh. I don't know a lot about him. Kind of been out of the loop of that level of football for a while, but by all accounts, from what I'm hearing, very well rated. Cammy Russell signing, of course. Play, I mean, we spoke about other players that were signed in the summer. So it's been, you know, good recruitment in the last little while for Spartans. So you expect them to go on a good run now for the rest of the season. But yeah, good win for them in the North Edinburgh Derby. The only thing for me about that is just, you know, you go 2-0 up, you see that out, you build on that. So to almost make it a bit more of an event was perhaps disappointing. But at the end of the day, kind of won the second half 2-0, so no complaints there. Civil's point of view, it's just a kind of game what we were seeing a couple of weeks ago, Callum. I just come to you there. If these results were kind of dotted about the season, you probably wouldn't be too disheartened at them, but it just seems to be a run now that Civil are on, and they just can't seem to get out of it at this moment in time. And it was just the start of the season they had was incredible, the start of the season. The run that they went on, some of the results they were picking up, but you know, it's been a wee while since they kind of picked up 3 points. You know, it's 18th of December now. It's sort of 4 games without a win. I think it's maybe even 4. Yeah, 3-2 draws, 2 defeats. But it's not disaster. Of course, it's not, far from it. But we would just like to see a win again for Civil, because they're starting to now get dragged into a sort of, will they even finish sort of 6th at this moment in time? Because I think if Berwick win their games in hand, Berwick can actually go above them. I don't think Berwick go on a run of 3 wins out of 3 with their games in hand. I'm not sure they will, but you're giving teams a chance.
Yeah, I think the sort of the run of form that Civil have been on, they've, what was it, draws against Gala, and was it Cumbernauld, they've taken the lead in both those games, been caught out, you know, they get themselves back into the game at Berwick, lose the game 3-1, they get themselves back into the game at Spartans, they lose the game 4-2. So you're looking at that and you're thinking, you know, it is a young squad. There was a little bit of upheaval, I think, when, you know, Mac wasn't fit enough to play in goals, or he was away or whatever it was. But, you know, missing him for a couple of those games is big. Then, I don't know, it's been a sort of, I don't know, a sort of a few weeks that Civil will think that they could have had, you know, 9-10 points, and they're sitting there with 2. I think that they'll be looking back in moments, it'll be, oh, well, if we'd done that, they'd feel a lot better. And I think, you know, coming back from 2-0 down at Spartans to then, you know, not really throw a glove in the second half is disappointing. To get back into the game at Berwick and then go down in the same way, I think it's just...
I just wonder, Callum, do you think that's where maybe the lack of experience comes into things? I just wonder, you know, you get yourself back into the game at 2-2, and I mean, Ross, I suppose, I'll come to you here, you get back into the game at 2-2, and maybe that's when you kind of need a bit more calm head just to go, look, we're back in the game here, let's just take stock. But it's maybe just that the youthfulness of Civil. It's just they kind of want more, and they want more, and they maybe open up a little bit more, and maybe they needed to and end up getting picked off. I just wonder, maybe with the nature of Civil's squad, the youthful side to it, maybe it's almost a bit of inexperience, perhaps.
Yeah, I think Spartans are probably now starting. Civil are starting to see the kind of downs and of the, obviously they've had the highs of the youthful team. I think now they're starting to almost face that. Like, this is also the downs of having this useful side, where, as you said, it's a bit of experience, see the game out, or you come back into a game and you've got to try and keep this game tight and stuff like that as well, push on, but not kind of be slack and concede, which unfortunately the fallen foul of a couple of games, the game I saw against East Stirlingshire, they were one up. There wasn't really any killer threat after that. Once they went one up, it was almost a kind of sit back and let's try and ride the game out now and stuff like that as well. And I think you kind of just need that wee killer touch at times as well. It's something they're unfortunately missing. What do they do to get around that? I don't know. I'm not a football manager. But I think it'll be interesting to see. has there been many signings came in, or any kind of rumours of anyone coming in soon?
Someone joined on loan, but
is that the boy for St Johnston?
Yeah, yeah. But for the life of me, I have no idea.
Stephen's come on loan from St Johnston. He's actually the son of a former Edinburgh City first team sort of, I think, his manager for a year, Sean Stevens. Some may know that name. I think it's actually Sean Stevens' son. So any Edinburgh City fans will certainly recognise that name. So interesting connection there. Gary linking up with the child of one of his former sort of coaches, stroke teammates, I think. So that's interesting. But there we are. Yeah, so we'll see how like so he gets on. But those two sides, so Spartans this weekend, Broomhill, Civil face Rangers, Civil in action playing against Armadale. I'm not quite sure the current score, but this weekend it doesn't get any easier for Civil. I mean, geez, oh, Rangers, almost as tough as it gets currently in the league. And then Spartans against Broomhill, for me, I fancy Spartans to go through there and pick up 3 points. It's not the Broomhill of old that we're used to seeing the last couple of years under Stephen Swift. And for Civil, it's going to be a tough game. What do you think, Calum? I think it's fairly.
I think Spartans go through there, and if you know, I'm wanting 3 or 4, a big performance. Carry that on, because I think, like we said, you know, Broomhill obviously under the guise of BSC, like they were for the past couple of years, Stephen Swift's management, they were in and around the top half of the league or top four. They had sort of half promotion title challenge, really. I think that, yeah, they're going through a period of transition. Obviously, the name changed at the start of the season back to Broomhill. So I think it's definitely something that they're not at the level that they've been for the last few years. Personally, you know, if I was Spartans, I would remember the celebrations on the touchline and everything when going through there and losing 3-2. I'd have it in the back of my mind and I'd be like, well, Kim, what? We'll see who's laughing. But that's just me. I'm a little bit more petty and things like that. And but there's a few Spartans boys that have moved on, obviously. There's only a couple there. But I would like to hope that it's something that, you know, look, we go out there professional and we win this game, and we win this game well.
Yeah. And then for Civil, on the other hand, it's trying to find that form from previous games against Rangers.
I don't know, because look, the boy that's been really impressive for Rangers this season, Alex Lowry, obviously made his debut for the full team on Friday night against Stirling Albion. So I think that it was a East Stirling fan that the catch up retweeted, basically saying that, you know, they've played Rangers and Celtic B when they've been at full strength, and now it's almost, you know, like an under 17 team. You just don't know what sort of level of squad the two old firm Colts teams are going to put out. So I think if you look at it and you go, look, if there's a few Rangers boys missing from this squad, then, you know, Civil have got a right good chance. Obviously, it's still going to be very difficult, but they went to, what was it? Was it Dumbarton that they play? And managed to get the result 3-1. So I think, if you know, phenomenal result. I think it depends on the sort of team the Rangers put out, but let's be under no illusions that Gary will have Civil drilled. He'll know the run of form that they're in. It's not going to be somewhere that Rangers are going to come and have it all their own way. You know, I think if you spoke to a lot of the Celtics side, they did not enjoy coming to the Christy Gillis when, you know, last season, etc. So for me, this is massive. I think Civil could sneak something, but again, it just depends on what squads the Rangers boys are working with.
Yeah. Okay then, and finally on to Edinburgh Uni. And well, I was on their Twitter, and it's not exactly been the most
six-nil
defeat. Yeah, to Edinburgh Uni and sorry to Celtic. And I suppose it's not a good run that Edinburgh Uni are on at this moment in time. They're actually the least informed side in the Lone League at this moment in time. So not pretty. However, they've kind of got enough sort of money in the bank, so to speak, Ross, because they've kind of got their business done early in terms of getting points on the board. It doesn't really matter what run they go on from now to the end of the season. They're going to be absolutely fine.
I think that was the most important thing, get that kind of safety net that they needed at the start of the season. They've done that. The players like Lawson and stuff like that have came in. They've done really well for the squad, so they might struggle now that nightclubs are back open, so that they might have a wee bit of more of a hangover when they're playing, but we'll see what happens with that. But but that I never expected them to go in that form the whole season. They're kind of expecting that dip at some point, and it's obviously starting to come. It's still disappointing, but I wouldn't kind of look too much into a 6-0 defeat off Celtic. For teams like Uni and stuff like that, I think you kind of just bypass these results or certain ones, games that they'll look at and think, nah, just write that off automatically. So
they're not,
as you say, they've done their job. So
yeah, they're not the games, Callum, that are going to, you know, define Ember Uni's season, are they? It's not the games against Celtic and the likes. It's the ones of the teams around them. It's the Vales and the Gretna games, and that's where Ember Uni have really.
I've done well this season, but
done well historically, to be honest, in the League, Calm. There's not been many times that we've been here sitting that Ember Uni have not picked up sort of at least 4 points off the teams in and around them. You know, they've done well actually at that. So that's kind of where they've been able to sustain their time in the Lone League. And I've seen they've got their trials in the last, is it this week or it happened already? And they set up a game against Bo'ness this weekend. So again, you know, Bo'ness, it's not the Bo'ness of the first season in the Lone League. I think they've kind of been a bit more stuttering this year, maybe kind of second season syndrome in a kind of way, as they often say down south, you know, when a team has their second spell, but obviously, you know, far from in danger, of course, but, you know, Bo'ness in 12th, you know, bang, sort of in the sort of mid to sort of mid-table-ish around there. They've got a chance, Ember Uni, but you know, you've got to fancy, I'd imagine, a home win here.
Yeah, I think, you know, we didn't want to be at the start of the season talking about, you know, good performances from Uni. Need to see points on the board more. And I think looking, yeah, they're almost sort of the run that they're on just now, because of the success that they've had earlier in the season, we're sitting here going, well, you know, that's not good enough. You know, they've tipped 4 points off East Kilbride this season. You know, phenomenal return there. So I think that there's definite improvement in the squad. You're always going to get the sort of up and downs when it comes to Edinburgh Uni. So, yes, it's maybe a little bit of a rough patch at this moment in time. I think that there will have been a couple of defeats in there that will have hurt Dorian. I don't think he'll have enjoyed the sort of the Spartans one, the coming old Colts one, which 4-3 in the end, and so it's at Stirling Uni as well. I don't think any of them, but there's still talent in this Edinburgh Uni side. And yeah, Bo'ness, look, again, Bo'ness are only what, a couple of places above the Uni this year. I don't think that, well, I mean, maybe in terms of personnel there might be a lot between them, but there certainly isn't in terms of points. So I think if I'm the Uni, I'm looking at this, a wee performance, and who knows what could happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay then, another, that's a plenty of meat on the bone there for our listeners this week. I suppose there's one question I want to ask you, because it's come up. Your any sort of January transfer signings that have really kind of, on your memory, guys, that have been like your favourite January transfer, that's totally kind of transformed your team's fortunes? Is there any ones that kind of highlight, I mean, I think as Hibs fans, we often think back to that terrible one under Pat Phelan, but is there any more highlights in terms of January signings, or any sort of stories that you remember going, will he, won't he? The rumours that go around and it never kind of quite falls through.
Tony Stokes.
Hearts have got horrors.
You both answered at the same time. Go to Callum first.
You go, Callum.
Well, Tony Stokes, January 2016, loan deal from Celtic. 5 months later, rest is history.
Yeah, fair point. Man, the match in the final as well. Ross?
Gennaro Zifuk. Fattest striker I've seen in ages, but my God, the boy knew where the goal was. I loved him. I absolutely loved him. He only wore an XL as well. I was surprised that.
I wonder what
tour at Tynecastle went to the change room. It was the first top I checked to see what size was.
Very, very strange, you know, came in, done the job, and then just disappeared
off the face of the earth.
Yeah, it was just
God, that was really,
really strange.
I think the club were wanting a good bit of money, I think, from Hearts at that point. Because I think he'd done well, but I think in terms of rumours as well, for is he going it, is he not, Cleb's brother was mentioned every transfer window under the sun, and it was coming, it's going to happen. No, it's not. It is.
That doesn't count. You can't have a transfer rumour that is every window. That's like saying, oh, Lee Griffiths to Hibs every single window. It's just,
Cleb's brother was. It was always floated about. Bentley as well.
I mean, if he hadn't left in such a horrendous way, Camberry came in January window and was flying. I think he scored 11 goals. Jamie McLaren came in same time, was on fire. And I think like that January transfer window that a lot of Hibs fans talk about, that's basically the only sort of leverage that they had when talking about Neil Lennon should be back at Easter Road, was that transfer window. Scott Allen signed on loan, and McLaren and Camberry all signed, and it took Hibs to the next level. A lot of Hibs fans say that was the that 6 months was just incredible following the team. But I think that one was definitely interesting. But I can't think of we're going to get him, and then it doesn't happen.
Another one, actually, I've just thought of one. Now you've just mentioned a rat. John Souter was a January transfer signing.
There you go.
He was good.
Interesting.
So,
okay.
Don't sign them in January.
If any other listeners are listening, get your tweets in or let us know. Message us, let us know. Any other your favourite sort of January transfer window stories, signings, let us know. Okay, Callum, on to the predictions.
Absolutely not a problem. Right, so we'll start as it will appear on the graphic. Hearts, Motherwell, Byers.
3-1 Hearts.
Stobie.
Yeah, I'll go 2-0 Hearts.
I'm going to go 3-0 Hearts. Got faith in old Craig Gordon. Byers, Hibernian versus Livingston.
2-0 Hibs.
Stobes.
I'll go 2-1 Hibs.
I'm going to go 3-0 Hibs, actually. There we go. I might go 3-0 all the way down. Who knows? Right. Byers, Fofa versus City.
Fofa.
Sorry, mate?
2-1 Fofa.
2-1 Fofa. Stobes.
I'll go 3-1 Fofa.
Yeah, 3-1 Fofa. There you go. Byers, Benes versus Edinburgh Uni.
2-1 Benes.
Okay. Stobes.
I'll go 2-0 Benes.
2-0 Benes. I will go I'll go Benes 4-1.
So we're not doing very well in the Edinburgh teams this week, are we?
No.
I tell you right now, so far there's been 12 predictions, every single one of them home win from us all. There you go. I think that'll change when I come to you just now, Byers, and I say Broomhill v Spartans.
3-1 Spartans.
See? There you go. Knew that would change. Stobes.
I'll go 3-1 Spartans as well.
I'm going to go 4-0. Hopefully the boys for the Borders, I know that they listen, they can ensure that happens. And we will finish with Silver Surfer Strollers versus Rangers B. Ross George Byers.
3-1 Sevco.
Stobes.
That's a tough one, isn't it? 1-3.
1-3, and I will go Desmond, 2 each.
You work in that game,
No, I'll probably be there.
Of course. Okay then. Guys, get your predictions in. Don't stress. It's not a midweek prediction. You've not got literally less than 24 hours to get them in. It is the weekend fixture, of course. No Friday night game, so no stress here either. You've got right up till Saturday at 3 o'clock, so plenty of time to get your predictions in. Thank you for listening. That was the Edinburgh Football Podcast. I was joined by Ross and Callum. Thanks for listening.